بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, which is the fifth lesson in this series regarding al-bid'ah wa ahkamuha, innovations and the rulings and principles relating to innovations, this is the fifth and the final lesson bi-idhnillah. In the previous lesson, we spoke about the guidelines or the principles by which a person leaves the fold of Ahlul Sunnah and he is put alongside Ahlul Bid'ah. And in this lesson, we are going to speak about a very important issue, and that is Hajru Ahlil Bid'ati wa maqata'atuhum. It is the boycotting of the people of innovation and cutting off from them. Al-hajar wal-muqata'ah, to boycott them and to cut off them. And when is it correct for a person to boycott the people of innovation? And when should a person not boycott them but rather keep relations with them? And the asal, the base ruling in this issue, is that a person, a Muslim, who cares about his religion, he should try to protect his religion. And he tries to protect his religion by staying away from the people of innovation, the people of deviation, the people of open sinning, and those groups and sects which are misguided and deviated. And this is the asal. And that a person avoids sitting with them, accompanying them, learning from them, mixing with them. And instead, he should be close to the people of Iman, and close to the people of Taqwa, and close to the people of the Sunnah. Like Ibn Sirin said, Rahimullah, Inna hadhal ilm deen. Verily, this knowledge which you are seeking, it is your religion. فَانْظُرُوا عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So look to the person from whom you are taking your religion. And subhanallah, if we as people, if we are very careful when it comes to protecting our health. So if there is a person who is ill and that disease is contagious, then we will stay away from that person. Why? To protect our health. Or to protect our lives, our blood. So if there's a person who is violent or he's tyrannical, then we stay away from him to protect our blood and life. And also our wealth. If we know that a person is a thief, then we stay away from that person to protect our wealth. And when it comes to protecting our property, then we take all the various safeguards to protect our property. Then how about our religion? So also our religion, we have to take care to protect our religion from those people who may affect it. Like I mentioned, the people of innovation, the people of bid'ah, the people of sinning, the people of fujur, open disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because a person is affected by two diseases. We're talking about spiritual diseases. The heart of a person is affected by two spiritual diseases. مرض الشبهات ومرض الشهوات. The disease of the doubts and the disease of desires. So these shubuhat, these desires, they come to a, sorry, these doubts of misguidance, they come to a person when he opens his ear to the people of innovation and doubts. And the desires, the shahawat, a person is affected from them when he opens his heart to the people of sinning. So a person has to try to stay away from those people who will affect him with the shubuhat and the shahawat. And every hadith and every ayah which encourages us to accompany the good people, the righteous people, and stay away from the people of evil, then it contains this meaning. Staying away from the people of innovation and from the people of open sinning. And this is the asal. This is the base ruling. The base ruling is we stay away from Ahlul Bid'ati wa Ahlul Ma'asiyah. However, this does not mean that a Muslim should isolate himself from the rest of his community or society. So in Islam, we don't have this type of life like the Christian monks live, divorced from the worldly life and separate from the rest of creation and the other humans. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi wa Sahihahu al-Albani, he said, "Al-Muslimu idha kana mukhalitan an-nas wa yasbir ala adahum khayru min al-muslim alladhi la yukhalit an-nas wa la yasbir ala adahum." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Muslim who mixes with the people, integrates with the people, socializes with the people, but he's patient upon their harms, is better than a Muslim who does not mix with the people and neither is he patient upon their harms. So the person who stays away from the people, he thinks everybody else is a sinner, everybody else is evil, everybody else is a person of innovation, so I will stay away from them. What is the effect? The most effect he has is he protects himself. That's the most effect. But the person who has iman and he has and he's firm and he mixes with the people, he integrates with the people to try to call them and rectify them and change their evil, and then he's patient upon their harms, this person, at the least, he also rectifies other people and he changes society. So this type of living, living like a monk in a monastery, like the Christians live, divorced from the dunya, away from the people, Islam does not recognize this. Rather, Islam encourages us to mix with the people, but to be patient upon their harms and to try to guide and rectify society. But the general rule is that if there's a danger to a person's religion from the people of innovation and learning from them, that a person stays away from them. And the Salaf, alayhim ridwanullah, no doubt, there are many, many statements in which they forbade innovations and they forbade sitting with the people of innovation because of the dangers it contains. Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimullah, he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ مُبْتَدِعًا فِي طَرِيقٍ. If you see an innovator walking on a path, فَخُذْ فِي طَرِيقٍ آخَرٍ, then take another path. He said, وَمَنْ أَعَانَ صَاحِبَ الْبِدْعَةِ, whoever helps and accommodates a person of innovation, فَقَدْ أَعَانَ عَلَى هَدْمِ الدِّينِ, then he has helped and aided in the destruction of the religion. He also said, Al-Fudayl, and he was from the Tabi'een, صاحب البدعة لا تأمنه في على دينه على دينك. He said, the person of innovation, do not trust him when he comes to your religion. ولا تشاوره في أمرك, and do not consult him in your affairs. ولا تجلس إليه, and do not sit with him. And Abu Qulaba, he said, لا تجالس أهل الأهواء, do not sit with and accompany the people of desires. ولا تجادلوهم, and do not debate with them. And there are many other statements of the Salaf in how severe they were with regards to the people of innovation and sitting with the people of innovation and talking to the people of innovation. Many statements of the Salaf in which they encourage staying away from them and boycotting them. However, it is important to understand the statements of the Salaf according to the siyaq, according to the context in which they were said. So when did they make these statements? What type of society did they live in when they were making these statements? When they spoke about Ashabul Bid'ah or Ashabul Ahwa, the people of innovation, the people of desires, which type of mubtadi' are they talking about? Were they talking about the Ami Muslim, the common Muslim who has some bid'ah with him? Or were they talking about the heads of the groups of innovation? And also, the ulama mentioned that when it comes to boycotting and staying away from the people of innovation, you have to differentiate between when your society and your situation or your society and the strength or the weakness of the sunnah. So for example, the Salaf, alayhim rahmatullah, when they said these statements, then it was said in a time in which Ahlul Sunnah had a position of strength. Whereas now we live in a society in which the majority of the people are upon innovations, and Ahlul Sunnah are those who are less in number. So we have to differentiate between these different times and scenarios. It may be the case that a mubtadi', an innovator, the same person, in one situation, in one society, he may be cut off from and he's boycotted. But in another society, in another scenario, then we keep him close. And he's the same person with the same innovations, but the situation, it differs. So for example, let's say a person is in Al-Madinatul-Nabawiyyah, for example, in which Ahlul Sunnah are many and the scholars are many and the Sunnah is apparent. And then there is an innovator there. So in that scenario, this innovator, he may be boycotted, because it is hoped if you boycott him, then he will come back to the sunnah, because it is the sunnah which has the strength there. This same innovator, let's say you go to the lands of the kuffar, and there's only you and him. You are the only two Muslims. The same innovator with the same bid'ah, the same innovations, you will not boycott him. Rather, you will keep him close to you. So now in this land, in which the sunnah is the minority, if you boycott him, then whose food will you eat? And who will you visit? And whose women are going to be married? And whose invitations are going to be answered? And where is the jama'ah going to be prayed if you're not going to pray with him? So in one scenario, he may be boycotted in a particular society. In another society, he may become your closest friend. And yet he's the same person, the same mubtadi' with the same innovators. Also, we have to differentiate between the types of hajar, the types of boycotting. So there is al-hajar al-kulli and al-hajar al-juz'i. Al-hajar al-kulli is absolute boycotting, meaning no salam, no visiting, no sitting with them, and so on and so forth. And then there is al-hajar al-juz'i, which is the partial boycotting. So you may interact with him in the matter of the dunya, but in a particular sphere you may boycott him, like for example learning from that person. Also, you have to differentiate when it comes to whether this innovator is boycotted or not, whether this person is silent upon his innovation, meaning the bid'ah which he is doing, he does it in his home and nobody else knows. And between a person who calls to his bid'ah and spreads his bid'ah and debates over his bid'ah and places alliances over his bid'ah, there's a difference between how both of these people are treated. And as I mentioned also, differentiate between the state of Ahlul Sunnah, that are they in a position of strength so that they can boycott other people and it does not harm them? Or are you or Ahlul Sunnah in a position of weakness in the first place, so much so that if you were to boycott a person of innovation, then it would have no effect upon the person? Also, we have to know that hajru ahlil bid'ati, the boycotting of the people of innovation, it is done with three objectives in mind. The people of innovation are boycotted with three objectives in mind. Firstly, maslahatun nafs, that you as an individual, by staying away from the people of innovation, you are protecting yourself and your own religion. This is the first maqsad from maqasid of al-hajr. Secondly, maslahatul ghair, that you are taking care of the benefit of the other people. Meaning, if people see you staying away from the people of innovation, then they will know that this person is a person of bid'ah and we should stay away from him, and he has doubts which he's spreading amongst the people. And then the third reason why the mubtadi' is boycotted is maslahat al-mubtadi', is his own benefit. So maybe by a person boycotting a person of innovation or a person of sinning, then he will rectify his situation and he will return from his innovation or return from his sinning. Like, for example, let's say you have a group of best friends. You have three or four very close best friends, and they have known each other since they were young. And they are each other's friends. They socialize with each other, they sit with each other. They are the friends between each other. If one of them begins to openly sin, openly he is now sinning, or he's delving into innovations, the other three close friends, they might boycott him. And why do they boycott him? Just to put a little bit of pressure on him, so that he himself will realize that, look, my closest friends, I'm becoming distant from them because of this sinning. So through their boycotting of him, he then returns back to the truth. So these are maqasid al-hajr. These are the three main objectives behind boycotting a person of innovation or a person of open disobedience. Maslahatul nafs, maslahatul ghayr, wa maslahatul mubtadi'. For the benefit of your own self, or the benefit of the community around you, or the benefit of the mubtadi' himself. And when it comes to boycotting the people of sinning and the people of innovation, the main thing we have to consider is al-masalih wal-mafasid. A person has to always weigh up the potential benefits of boycotting against the potential harms of boycotting and staying away from this person. So if by you staying away and boycotting the person of innovation, the person of sinning, the benefits outweigh the harms, then he is boycotted and stayed away from. But if the harms of you boycotting these individuals outweighs the potential benefits, then that person is not boycotted. And a Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimullah, he has a beautiful fatwa when it comes to boycotting the people of innovation. From the fatwa Nurun ala Darb, and this fatwa is on his website and it's been translated on medina.com. He was asked a question by a brother from Yemen. And the question is, Mata tajuzu muqata'at al-mubtadi'? When is it permitted to stay away from or cut off from the innovator? وَمَتَى يَجُوزَ الْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ? And when is it permitted to hate somebody for the sake of Allah? وَهَلْ تُؤَثِّرَ الْمُقَاطَعَ فِي هَذَا الْعَصَرِ? And does cutting off or staying away or boycotting, like the people of innovation and sinning, does it have a positive effect in this time, in this era? And he replied, rahimullah, he said, المؤمن ينظر في هذه المقامات بنظر الإيمان ونظر الشرع. That the believer, he has to deal with these scenarios and these situations from the angle of Iman and the angle of what the Sharia legislates. نظر التجرد من الهوى. And he should stay away from dealing with these scenarios according to his desires. فَإِذَا كَانَ هَجْرُهُ لِلْمُبْتَدِعِ وَبُعْدُهُ عَنْهُ لَا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ شَرٌ أَعْظَمْ فَإِنَّ هَجْرُهُ حَقٌّ. So if by you boycotting the innovator and distancing yourself from him, if it does not lead to a greater evil, then in this scenario, boycotting and staying away from the innovation, it is correct. وَأَقَلُّ أَحْوَالِهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ سُنَّةً. And the minimum level is that it is something which is recommended. وَهَكَذَا هَجْرُ مَنْ أَعْلَنَ الْمَعَاصِي. And similar to this is boycotting and staying away from a person who sins wa adhharaha, and he makes it open. He said, فَإِنْ كَانَ عَدَمُ الْهَجْرِ أَصْلَحْ. However, if you not boycotting the people of innovation, if this is aslah, if this is more beneficial, and there's a greater maslaha in this, لِأَنَّهُ يَرَى أَنَّ دَعْوَةَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُبْتَدِعِينَ وَإِرْشَادِهِمْ إِلَى السُنَّةِ وَتَعْلِيمِهِمْ مَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ يُؤَثِّرْ فِيهِمْ. So if you not boycotting the people of innovation is more beneficial, because you consider that those people should be given da'wah, and they should be guided towards the sunnah, and they should be taught that which Allah has obligated upon them, and this will have a greater effect upon them. وَأَنَّهُ يُرِيدُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَعْجِلْ فِي الْخَيْرِ فِي الْهَجَرِ. And you think that this is going to be positive, then a person should not hasten towards boycotting. So the answer of the Shaykh rahimullah was what? That if by you boycotting the people of innovation and the people of open sinning and clear disobedience to Allah, if it isn't going to result in greater evil, then you should stay away from them and boycott them. But if by you boycotting them is going to lead to greater evil. So let's say you have a person who is sinning, you have two options. One option is to stay away from him and boycott him, and the other option is to bring him close to you. So if you boycott him, maybe he will delve into further sinning. And if you bring him close to you, then because of your good manners, because of you taking care of him, maybe he will leave his sinning and he will come towards righteousness. In this case, then you do not boycott him. And look at the hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Madinah, meaning in a state of Islam, in a state in which there was sunnah and the strength was for the sunnah, he didn't boycott every person. He didn't boycott every person of sin or every person who had a mistake, he boycotted them. Al-Shaykh Ibn Baz, he cries on in the fatwa, he says, فَالنَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wasallam هَجَرَ قَوْمًا وَتَرَكَ آخَرِينَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would boycott certain people, and other people he would not boycott them. لَمْ يَهْجُرْهُمْ, he would not boycott them. Why? مُرَاعَةً لِلْمَصْلَحَةَ الشَّرْعِيَّةَ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةَ. Weighing up the potential benefits and advantages according to the Sharia and according to Al-Islam. And this is important. So when we talk about boycotting a particular mubtadi' or the people of innovation or a particular sinner, when we talk about al-maslaha wal-mafsada, we are not talking about your maslaha. We're not talking about your personal gain or your personal advantage. Only the maslaha of the Sharia, the maslaha of al-Islam. So if a person says, I'm not going to boycott this person because if I boycott him, then he will think I am a horrible person. It doesn't matter. Because the maslaha which we are talking about is the maslaha of the Sharia. Only the maslaha of al-Islam. Will Islam benefit from you boycotting this person or not? So if this person returns back closer to Islam, then this is maslaha shar'iyya. If he delves more and more into sinning and innovation because you have cut off from him, then this is a darar of the sharia. As for your own personal maslaha, that people will say, I am so and so, people will call me harsh, people will give me nicknames, then this does not matter. Al-Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimullah, he says, and look at the hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فَالنَّبِيُّ هَجَرَ كَعْبِ بْنُ مَالِكِ وَصَاحِبَيْهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he cut off from and he boycotted Ka'b ibn Malik and his two friends radiyallahu anhum, and they were from the Sahaba. Lamma takhallafu ala ghazwati Tabuk bighayri udhrin, when they stayed away from the battle of Tabuk without any valid excuse. Hajarahum 50 layla. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he boycotted these three virtuous companions for 50 nights and 50 days. Hatta tabu, until they repented. فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and then Allah accepted their repentance. On the other hand, He says, وَلَمْ يَهْجُرْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not boycott Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. He did not boycott the heads of the people, the munafiqeen like Ibn Salul. وَجَمَاعَ مِنَ الْمُتَّهِمِينَ بِالنِّفَاقِ. And a group of those people who were accused of being munafiqeen. لِأَسْبَابٍ شَرْعِيَّةٍ. Due to Islamically legislated reasons. So, look at the hikmah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The three people who are closest to Islam and love him the most, Ka'b ibn Malik and his two companions from the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam boycotts them. And it was hajrun kulli, absolute boycott. There was no salam, there was no greeting, there was no returning of salam, there was nothing at all. And yet the munafiqun, rather the heads of the munafiqeen, like Ibn Salul, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not boycott him. And yet he is from the munafiqun. And Dhul Khuwaisira, when the companions wanted to strike his neck, then he forbade them from doing so. So why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam boycott and stay away from those who were closest to him? And yet those who were a severe enemy, he did not boycott them. And this was in Medina, he could have done so. Weighing up al-masalih al-shari'iyah, weighing up the Islamic, the benefits which the Sharia legislates. Because Ka'b ibn Malik, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he boycotts him, then he will come closer, because he will feel inside him his iman. His iman will cause him to have regret and sorrow, so he will come closer to al-Islam, and he will make a tawbah which is more sincere. The munafiq, he's mu'anid. He's an arrogant person in the first place. So if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cuts off from them people, then they'll say, excellent. Now we don't have to answer to the Prophet because he's not giving us salam in the first place. So the point is that the ruling when it comes to boycotting isn't that every Muslim who has innovations with him, who has sinning with him, is boycotted immediately. Rather, we have to look at where is the maslaha, where is the mafsada. What effect will it have upon that person? What effect will it have upon the greater community? Also, what type of innovations does he have? And is he calling to his innovations or is he silent? All of these things, they matter. So, Shaykh ibn Baz rahimullah, he says, فَإِذَا كَانَ هَجْرُهُمْ يُرْجَى فِيهِ الْخَيْرِ لَهُمْ وَيُرْجَى فِيهِ أَنْ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْبِدْعَةِ وَمِنَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ فَإِنَّ السُنَّةَ الْهَجَرِ. So if by boycotting those people, it is hoped it will bring goodness for them and they will make tawbah to Allah from their innovation, they will make tawbah to Allah from their sinning, then the sunnah is that they should be boycotted. وَقَدْ أَوْجَبَ ذَلِكَ جَمْعٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. And some of the ulama, they held it to be an obligation. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَجْرُهُمْ وَتَرْكُهُ سَوَاءٌ لَا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ لَا شَرٌ وَلَا خَيْرٌ فَهَجْرُهُمْ أَوْلَى. If you have a scenario in which boycotting the people and not boycotting that person is the same, meaning it's not going to bring about any particular goodness, nor is it going to bring about any particular evil, then in this case, it is better to boycott that person. Why? إِظْهَارًا لِأَمْرِ الْمَشْرُوعِ. To show and to implement the hajr which is legislated. وَإِنْكَارُ الْمُنْكَرِ. And to show that this thing they are doing is evil. And so on and so forth. And then he said, the second situation is, أَنْ يَكُونَ هَجْرُهُمْ يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ مَفْسَدًا. That by you boycotting that person of innovation or that person of sinning, it is going to lead to a greater harm. وَشَرٌ أَكْبَرٌ. And a greater evil. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَهْجُرْهُمْ بِهَذِ الْحَالَةِ. Then in this scenario, that person should not be boycotted. إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا الْمُبْتَدِعِ. So if this innovator, إِذَا هَجَرَهُ. If by you boycotting him, زَادَ شَرُّهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ. His evil upon the people is going to increase. وَانْطَلَقَ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى الْبِدْعَةِ. And if you stay away from him, and this means he's now going to strive even more to start calling the people to his bid'ah. وَزَادَتْ بِدْعُهُ. And he's going to increase in his innovations. وَشُرُورُهُ. And his evil, and so on and so forth. He said, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُهْجَرُ. Then in this scenario, he's not boycotted. بَلْ يُنَاقَشْ. Rather, he is debated, and it is discussed with him. وَيُحَذَّرَ النَّاسِ مِنْهُ. And the people are warned from him. And then he goes on, and he said, وَهَاكَذَا الْعَاصِي الْمُعْلِنِ. And also like this, the ruling of a person who is openly sinning amongst the people. If by you cutting off from him and staying away from him and showing him a level of harshness is going to cause him to come back to righteousness and make tawbah, then he is boycotted and stayed away from. If, however, by you staying away from this sin and boycotting him, he's going to do more sinning and be more misguided, then we bring that person close to us and we advise him and we sit with him, hoping that he will come back to the truth. So he said, he summarizes, he says, فَالْمُؤْمِنْ يَنْظُرُ فِي الْأَصْلَحِ. So the believer, when dealing with people like this, always considers where the potential benefit is. Where is the potential advantage? وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ يُبْغِضُهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ. However, at the same time, that same person is hated for the sake of Allah. The asl, the base ruling when it comes to al-hub wal-bughd fillah, loving and hating for the sake of Allah, is that every person is loved and hated for the sake of Allah according to what they have with them from iman and Islam and righteousness, and what they have from them in terms of evil and innovations. So the more iman and the more righteousness and the more sunnah a person has, the more we love that person. And the more bid'ah and the more innovations or sinning that a person has, then the more we hate that person. And we hate that person because of the sinning or the innovation. So this isn't something which is personal to that person. Rather, it is according to the amount of sin and the amount of innovation they have. And therefore, there may be a Muslim, at the same time, he's loved and he's hated at the same time. There may be a Muslim, and in your heart, you have love for that Muslim and you have hated for that Muslim for the sake of Allah at the same time. And that is that you love him according to his Islam and Iman and his righteousness and his Sunnah. And at the same time, you hate him according to the level of sinning or ma'asiyah which he has. So, our love of a Muslim, but he's a sinner out here, is not equal to our love of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Our love of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is high. Why? Because of the iman and the taqwa and the sunnah and the islah which he had in himself. And our love of the Muslim out here who is a sinner, our love is there because he's a Muslim. And every Muslim is loved according to his Islam. So base love has to be there for every single Muslim. But the love and the hatred, it differs according to the amount of righteousness and amount of evil that that person has. He said, وَيُبْغَضْ الْكَافِرْ فِي اللَّهِ. The kafir, he's hated for the sake of Allah. Na'am, meaning according to his kufr. He's hated due to his kufr. This hatred of him because of his kufr, it doesn't mean that we don't smile with him and we don't sit with him and we don't fulfill his rights and we don't call him to da'wah with beautiful names and beautiful words and in a beautiful way. There's no opposition or contradiction between this. So yes, it is legislated for the Muslim that he hates a non-Muslim, but not hating him personally, rather hating him fillah, for the sake of Allah. We hate for Allah to be disobeyed. And therefore, anybody who disobeys Allah has a share of that hatred. We love for Allah to be obeyed, and therefore every person who obeys Allah, then he has a portion of that love, which is all for the sake of Allah. He said, وَيُبْغَضْ الْعُصَاةِ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ مَعَاصِيهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ قَدْرِ الْبِدْعَةِ. So the sinners, they are hated for the sake of Allah according to their level of sinning. And also the people of innovation, they are hated for the sake of Allah, but according to the level of innovation. So the people of innovation and the groups of innovation, they are not all the same level. Some are more extreme and more evil and their bid'ah is much greater. And there are others from the people of innovation and their groups whose bid'ah is much less. And maybe they only differ with Ahlul Sunnah in one or two innovations and everything else is the same. So we cannot compare both of these groups together and treat them in the same way. Our hatred of that group, the people of innovation whose innovation is very, very severe, has to be more than the group of innovation who has only a few small innovations and they are close to Ahlul Sunnah. He said, "Bughdul kafir ashad." So the hatred of the kafir, it is more severe. وَبُغْضُ الْمُبْتَدِعْ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ بِدْعَتِهِ. However, the hatred of the person of innovation is according to his level of innovation. إِذَا كَانَتْ غَيْرُ مُكَفِّرَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِهَا وَالْعَاصِي عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ مَعْصِيَتِهِ وَيُحِبُّهُ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ إِسْلَامِهِ. So if you have an innovator whose innovation is غير مكفرة, which we discussed previously, then he is hated according to that level. And similar person of sinning. So a person who has small sins is not hatred like a person who has major sins. A person who sins, but he does it in private, and he has haya, and he feels ashamed in front of the people, he's not hatred like the level of a person who sins in the open, and he has no shame in front of the people, and he has no shame in front of Allah. And he said, وَيُحِبُّهُ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ إِسْلَامِهِ. And this same innovator and the same sinner, he's loved at the same time according to his level of Islam and according to his level of Iman. And this, alhamdulillah, is the most balanced, moderate stance that a person can take. So amongst the Muslims, all of us, we have sins, and amongst the Muslims, alhamdulillah, are those who have righteous deeds. The same person, he will have many, many righteous deeds, and that same person will have some sins. So he's loved according to the righteous deeds which he has, and he's hated according to the sins which he has. Do you not consider, subhanAllah, how it is permitted for a Muslim man to marry a Christian or Jewish woman, and he loves her, and he calls her beautiful names, and he has affection for her? At the same time, he has to hate the kufr which is inside her, and the shirk which is inside her. So we see in the heart of this person, there is a love and a hatred which is coming together for the same person. You may have a person whose mother or father is a non-Muslim. He accepted Islam and they remained upon al-kufr. So his love and respect of his mother and father, which is tabi'i, it remains. And he has to fulfill all of their rights. And he calls them with affectionate names and beautiful names and loving names. At the same time, he hates in his heart that they are disobeying Allah and they are disbelieving. So he said, and notice there is no contradiction between hating a person of innovation and then at the same time not boycotting him. So it cannot be said that Fulan, he sits with the people of innovation and therefore this shows that he does not hate them. This is incorrect. A person can hate the people of innovation according to the level of the innovation, and at the same time, he does not cut off from them. He keeps them close to him. Why? In order to guide them. As Shaykh ibn Baz, he said in the same fatwa, فَمُرَاعَةَ الْمَصْلَحَ لَا يُنَافِي بُغْضُ الْكَافِرِ فِي اللَّهِ وَبُغْضُ الْمُبْتَدِعِ فِي اللَّهِ وَبُغْضُ الْعَاصِي فِي اللَّهِ. That you, weighing up the potential benefits and harms of whether to boycott or to not boycott this non-Muslim or this innovator or this sinning person, it does not contradict loving and hating for the sake of al-Islam or for the sake of Allah. So this is with regards to Hajar al-Mubtadi', when it is legislated to boycott the innovator and when it is not. And then the final thing, and we will finish with this, is beneficial books which discuss innovations. Beneficial books and references that a person can refer back to when it comes to studying innovations, bid'ah, and the rulings of bid'ah. And in reality, there are three types of books which speak about or which discuss innovations. The first type of books are those books which have been authored exclusively about bid'ah. So this book, all of it has been authored about innovations. And the second type of book is a book which was authored about various topics, and it contains a chapter in it which speaks about innovations. And then there is a third type of book which speaks about a specific innovation or a specific innovator. And the books which I'm going to mention are all Arabic books. So there are some books which were written by the Salaf, in fact many, many books. And I'll just give you an example of three or four books. There are some books which the Salaf and the Ulama, they wrote all about innovations. From amongst them, and from the best of them, is a book called Al-Hawadith Wal-Bid'ah by At-Tartushi. And he died 530 Hijri. The Imam Abu Bakr ibn Muhammad At-Tartushi, he wrote a book, Al-Hawadith Wal-Bid'ah. And in this book, he mentions ayat and ahadith encouraging the sunnah and forbidding innovations. He mentions the definition of bid'ah. He mentions the methodology of the sahaba and how they would warn against bid'ah. He speaks about whether the taraweeh and the qunut and the numbers of raka'at, why it cannot be considered a bid'ah. And then he also speaks about innovations which occur in when people recite the Qur'an, wal-ilhan, and when they deviate from the recitation of the Qur'an. He speaks about the bid'ah which occur in masajid, in the month of Rajab, in Hajj, in janazah, and in ta'ziyah when it comes to condolences. And there is also another book called Al-Ba'ith ala Inkar al-Bid'ah wal-Hawadith by Shihabuddin Abu Shama, and he died 660 Hijri. And in this book, he speaks about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions warned against innovations and the obligation to revive the sunnah and to kill off the innovations. Also, he has a chapter about the meaning of bid'ah and aslul bid'ah. And then he has a chapter, faslun fi mashtahara min al bid'ah fi bilad al Islam, a chapter about common innovations which are taking place in the Muslim lands. This is in his time. And then there is a third book, and this book is particularly good. It is called Al-I'tisam. Al-I'tisam fi Ahlil Bid'i wal Dalalat by Ash-Shatibi in 790 Hijri. And this book, it is in two volumes. Recently it was printed again with the tahqiq of Ash-Shaykh Mashhur Hassan Hafizullah. And many of the ulama, when they speak about innovations, even in some of this research, it's taken from Al-I'tisam of Ash-Shatibi. And he speaks about the meaning of bid'ah and principles relating to bid'ah and the displays of innovations and the people of innovations, the different types of innovations, the different rulings regarding innovations, the difference between bid'ah wal-masalih al-mursalah. And he mentions ayat and ahadith and many of the athar of the sahaba. So these three books in particular are books which were independently authored about, exclusive to bid'ah. Then there are books which were authored about a wide range of topics, and they contain a chapter about innovations. So for example, Al-Lalika'i in 418 Hijri, he authored the famous book شرح أصول اعتقاد أهل السنة والجماعة in 5 volumes. And this is a book which talks about the aqeed of Ahl Sunnah in general. So he speaks about التوحيد, he speaks about توحيد الأسماء والصفات, he speaks about having iman in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he speaks about the meaning of iman, that it is قول وعمل, he speaks about الشفاعة, he speaks about الإيمان باليوم الآخر, he speaks about Jannah, he speaks about Jahannam, he speaks about Fadail al-Sahaba, the virtues of the companions. All of this makes up the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah. In the introduction to it, in the Muqaddimah, he has an introduction regarding the Sunnah and staying away from innovations, in the first chapter in the introduction. Also, Ibn al-Jawzi, he wrote a famous book called Talbis Iblis, The Deception of Iblis. And this book ranges from 3 volumes to more, depending upon the print. It's an excellent book in Arabic. And he speaks about how Iblis how he deceives certain groups of people. Meaning, people of righteousness, how Iblis deceives them through their righteousness. So he speaks about how Iblis, he deceives the worshippers, the Zuhad. How Iblis has deceived the Sufiya. How Iblis has deceived the Khawarij. How Iblis has deceived Al-Mutadayyinin, those who are practicing. How Iblis deceives the common Muslims. How Iblis deceives the people when it comes to having Tul al-Amal, having long ambitions. So for example, Iblis, alayhi la'natullah, he has deceived the Sufiya through their love of Zuhud. So the Sufiya, they have a good intention. They love Zuhud. They want to stay away from the luxuries of this world. So Iblis uses this in order to deceive them. Iblis, he deceived the Khawarij through what? Not through the hatred of the Sharia, but through their love of Al-Jihad. So through their love of Jihad, Iblis deceived them. The Rawafid, the Shia, how did Iblis deceive them? Not through the hatred of Ahlul Bayt, but through the love of Ahlul Bayt. So through the love of Ahlul Bayt and the ghulu which he had, then Iblis was able to deceive them. He mentions also, if I remember correctly, a chapter on how Iblis deceives the ulama of Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil. The ulama who are known for criticizing individuals and narrators and people, praising them and criticizing them, Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil, how this can be a tool for Iblis to deceive those very people. That then, instead of criticizing a person because of an Islamically legislated reason, it becomes a personal issue. And the boycotting becomes a personal issue. And this is from the deceptions of Iblis. And this is something which is seen amongst the youth. Al-Muhim, from a chapter in this excellent book, he speaks about Al-Amru bil-Luzumi Sunnah wa Dhamm al-Bid'a wal-Mubtadi'een. In a chapter of this, he speaks about the command to stick to the Sunnah and the dispraise of innovation and the people of innovation. And also the books of Aqidah which were authored by the Salaf, like Sharh al-Sunnah of al-Muzani and Ibn Humayd, who died 219 Hijri, and As-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim, and Usul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and Al-Khalal, and others. As-Sunnah meaning Al-Aqidah. Here the word Sunnah, it means Al-Aqidah. In all of these books and treaties, the issue of innovations and innovators and staying away from innovators, it is mentioned. Also in the books of Hadith. So for example, in Sahih Bukhari, there is Kitabul I'tisam, which speaks about innovations. And in Sunan Abi Dawood, there's Kitab al-Sunnah, the book of the Sunnah, which warns against innovations. And then there are individual books which were authored about particular innovation. And there are many. Modern, contemporary and old, small treaties, articles or big books. Like for example, innovations regarding Maulid al-Nabawi. Or innovations regarding Dua. Or innovation, or a refutation of a particular innovator. And these are many books. And with regards to English books, and I'm not an expert in English books, but I found four books. One is called Al-Bid'ah, its general rules and its evil effect upon the Ummah, which was authored by our Sheikh, Sheikh Ali ibn Nasr al-Faqihi, from the senior scholars of Al-Madina, translated into English. Also, and it's a concise book. Another concise book, which is very old, is Bid'ah and its Evil Effects by Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. Also, I have seen chapters of Talbis Iblis by Ibn Jawzi, which has been translated into English. And then a recent book called Every Innovation is Misguidance by Sheikh Mahmood Mirpuri Rahimullah, which was printed by Salafi Research Institute. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wasallam. By the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have finished this concise series of five lessons regarding innovation and the people of innovation, the rulings regarding innovations. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to hold firm to the sunnah, that He keeps us away from all evil. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا صالحا ورزقا طيبا اللهم إنا نسألك الإخلاص في القول والعمل اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم